quello pure più scuola. Welcome to the sitting of the Select Committee on Economic and Business Development. To our honourable members, welcome back from an arduous 2 weeks of oversight. It's important to note that we will be sitting in plenary this afternoon, and our Select Committee would be presenting one of the bills that we have been working on, and we have the support of Honourable Jimunia, who will be presenting that on behalf of the committee. You're not doing it, but you were clear. For me, for the record, we have minute takers here.
Yeah.
For the minute takers to note, because they are not part of NCFP settings. So we must record it in the minutes of our proceedings that we will be doing that presentation in plenary today. Because it is an important aspect of our work. So we are not making a statement, we are informing the committee on the work of this committee. So it's a committee work. Because the second aspect of that also, honourable members, is that for tomorrow's select committee meeting, the red list indicates that we will be discussing the SEZs. Our secretary for Trade and Industry and International Relations has been approached by the Department of Trade and Industry, indicating that they would kindly appreciate if we instead deal with the agreement that we have with the EU and Croatia, and they wanted to get that so as a matter of urgency. And we agreed between the secretary and myself that rather than having a presentation on the SEZs tomorrow, we will be having a presentation on that protocol in our deliberations for tomorrow. The third matter that I want to raise with you is a matter that Honourable Farber also touched on in passing, which is the absence of Honourable Mokoena. I looked at the rules. It indicates that if a member is absent for 3 consecutive meetings of the Select Committee, that member loses their membership. Now, we're not going to apply the rules rigidly because we are reasonable, but we will write formally to this party and to the province that he's presenting here, indicating that he has been absent for 3 consecutive weeks, receive a presentation from the Department of Small Business Development and the acting DG in the department has indicated to that the report that is before us, that has been shared with us last week, Friday already, has three components in it. The one is on the work of the department. The second is on the Small Enterprise Finance Agency, SEPA. And then the third one is on CEDA, Small Enterprise Development Agency. So we will be receiving all the presentations in one before we allow an opportunity for members to engage. Can I then we will look at the minutes of our last meeting. We will look at the minutes of our last meeting. Can I then, as we proceed with this meeting, I haven't signed that yet, request that the secretary informs us whether we do have any apologies.
Of the Japan. department, we are saying we need an integrated approach to the promotion and development of small businesses and cooperatives through a focus on the economic and legislative drivers that stimulate entrepreneurship to contribute to radical economic transformation. And we believe that that radical economic transformation will lead to increased employment, poverty reduction, and reduced inequality. Honourable members will notice that we are saying we lead. We know that we cannot do this work alone. We expect to work closely with with other departments as well as provinces and municipalities. So we are leading this support of small businesses. Token one is administration, so we thought we should not include that because it's just administrative issues, HR and all those other things, because I think the letter was saying you want to know the services that we are offering or the programs that we have within the department. Program two is cooperative development. We have primary cooperative support as one of the key programs that we are driving, where we are looking at linking the cooperative to value chains of companies in particular the private sector. And we have focused incubation on cooperatives because honourable members will understand that cooperatives are a little bit different in terms of the way they operate. So there is a focused program that is looking at cooperatives, incubating them and ensuring that they are able to run their sustainable businesses. And then there is business development services support also for cooperatives, given that there are also different types of enterprise. You don't want to apply one size fits all to both SMEs and cooperatives. And then the second program, sub-program under program two is secondary cooperative support, which is focusing on secondary cooperatives, because we believe that the reason why most of the cooperatives are failing is because they are not getting support from cooperatives that are supposed to help them to be sustainable, to assist them with issues around logistics, issues around research, you know, packaging, all those things. You find that cooperatives are able to produce goods and services, but they are not able to sell those because they are either of poor quality or they are poorly packaged. We are also doing one of the key interventions which assists us to integrate work that we are doing as a department with the provinces, the implementation of the National SME and Cooperative Development Framework, where we have ourselves leading the GTI, Economic Development National Agency, as well as Provincial Economic Development Department. Under this, we sit quarterly to look at what each and everyone is doing, trying to make sure that we come up with one integrated approach in terms of supporting SMEs and cooperatives. So as Department of Small Business Development, we are leading this structure. We sit quarterly, we share with them our program so that they can also adjust what they are doing to what we are doing, so that we don't have a situation where the national department finds itself competing with provinces. It's a very important structure for us because that's where we decide in terms of prioritizing, for example, what are we going to prioritize as Department of Small Business Development. They also provide us with input because we know that provinces are not the same. The dynamics, you know, of the province are different. So they also provide us with input so that we can get our program customized to that particular province. Then program three is enterprise development and entrepreneurship. One of the sub-programs is entrepreneurship, where we have a program called Centers for Entrepreneurship, where we are working closely with we used to call them FET colleges, to come up with programs that are customized for the particular region. For example, we have one Center for Entrepreneurship in Mpumalanga, which is focusing on a particular sector, which it was informed by research that was conducted in that area. So we expect to have 9 centers for entrepreneurship, so that at least each province can have one center for entrepreneurship, where we get young people who are attending it's called TVET now, to form businesses, because we don't expect everyone who goes to a TVET college to get a job. We know that some people, they have ambitions to start the other program is National, National Enterprise Development Fund, which is something that we thought we should do for the first time this financial year, because what we discovered is that there are a number of private sector companies who are doing something around enterprise development. We thought we should play a big role in ensuring that these interventions that are being introduced by these private sector companies, there is some sort of an understanding of what is needed in this, because we know that it's not their responsibility to develop SMEs, so we want to assist them to direct their interventions in the right manner. So we have this National Enterprise Development Fund, which is almost final, the project, because we have the business case, we have received some support from some enterprises who are willing to partner with us, and this, once done and finalized, we will have CIFA implementing it. And then micro-franchising is one of the key programs that is directed towards businesses that are in the township. People come up with ideas in the townships, but they don't have a place to go to formalize these ideas. So we've been approached by a couple of them who told us that we have this idea. Now we want to spread these businesses to other regions or to other townships. So we assist them in packaging these micro-franchises so that they can be rolled out in other areas. But the person will retain the ownership of the intellectual property and other things. And then the other program, sub-program, is informal business and chamber support. We have a strategy called National Informal Business Assessment Strategy that was developed and approved, and we've come up with some instruments that are going to assist us to implement this informal business support. We know that informal businesses, we know in some cases certain municipalities, they see them as nuisance, but we are saying to municipalities in particular that some of these informal businesses, we know that they have to follow the bylaws and all the other things, but they also need support from us. So we came up with a strategy, we have some instruments that I'm going to talk about a little bit later. And then chamber support, there are a number of chambers which are not big, but they are very much important in developing the local economies. We know that they are, especially the big chambers, are not participating effectively in the development of their local economy. So we've come up with an instrument that will assist us in ensuring that we empower these chambers of trade so that they can also assist us as a department to provide small businesses with a support in their locality. The other sub-program is public procurement. Honourable members will remember that the President announced during the State of the Nation address that there will be 8% set aside for SMEs and cooperatives from the public sector. Here we are working with the National Treasury because they are the ones who are supposed to issue a practice note instructing all government institutions to set aside 8% for SMEs and cooperatives. So we are working with the National Treasury and will be responsible for monitoring and evaluation and ensuring that all government institutions are implementing this 10% set-aside. The other critical sub-program is co-location and capacity building. Here we are working with the entities for now, with CIDA and FIFA, but we are also talking to other DFI, NEF, IBC, also talking to SARS, because we know that their services are quite critical. We need to make sure that we bring these services closer to the SMEs and cooperatives, because it's one of the things that the SMEs have been complaining about, that it's very costly to start a business because we have to travel to different areas to access all these services. Just to make sure that it's very costly. So we are bringing even CIPC closer to the people. So we are driving this program together with our agencies to make sure that all CETA and CIFA branches, they provide total service to SMEs. Then one of the critical sub-programs is that is directed towards supporting targeted groups. We are looking at women-owned, people with disabilities, owned and youth-owned enterprises. We know that they have different challenges, so we had to come up with programs that are directed towards supporting people with disabilities. It's a very new era that we are entering into because we never had one when we were still part of the DTI. So we are still in the formation phases here, getting people on board, talking to the people who are in the space so that they can assist us to come up with programs that are going to assist people with disabilities. The other program is Red Tape Reduction Program, which is a program that is directed towards assisting in reducing red tape. We started with this program focusing on municipalities, but we realized that it's not only municipalities that have red tape issues. We are in the process of looking at these guidelines that were developed in partnership with FALDA and Department of Cooperative Governance and Social Affairs, and looking at these red tape guidelines and looking at how we can adjust this to include provinces as well as national government departments, because red tape is everywhere, it's not just in municipalities. And then the last one is the implementation of customized sector plan. This is one of the programs that was transferred from the Department of Trade and Industry to Department of Small Business Development. It's one of the key sectors that we are focusing on trying to assist people who are in the creative industries, assisting them with business development support. Here we are working mostly with the provincial agencies because we believe that they are best placed to guide us in terms of what we need to do. For example, in Eastern Cape, we're working with the ECDC. In Western Cape, we are working with CRAFT, Cape Town CRAFT Design Institute. In KZN, we are working with KZN, TIKZN. In Gauteng, we're working with Gauteng Tourism Authority. So it varies from province, but we're working with all provincial agencies to assist us to pay particular focus on the creative industries and make sure that we support small businesses that are in this area. Then, as a Department of Small Business Development, we are responsible for one of the 9-point plan programs, which is unlocking the potential of SMEs, cooperatives, township and rural enterprises. And the key actions that we are driving under this program is public sector procurement, which I've spoken about, building access to private sector value chain, which is critical for us because we want to make sure that our SMEs are not just dependent on government in terms of market for their products. We need to make sure that they manufacture products that are of quality, that are going to be acceptable to the private sector. So we are working closely with the private sector. And I must indicate to the honourable members that we have received a very, very positive response from the private sector. They are willing to work with us in ensuring that our SMEs and cooperatives improve in terms of quality, and they also assist in terms of business development services. The other key element that SMEs and co-ops have been talking about is access to finance. We know that we have agencies that are supporting government in availing finance to SMEs, but we know also that there are also challenges in terms of this finance. Some of it, we are told, is very expensive for SMEs and cooperatives. So we are looking at the instruments that we have, making sure that the developmental mandate of these DFIs is really implemented, that they don't compete with the commercial banks. Also, the other element under this access to finance, we want to connect with the provincial instruments, because we know that provinces, they also come up with their own instruments when it comes to access to finance. So we are making sure that we integrate these so that we don't find ourselves competing for same clients, but our funding instruments are linked to each other. And then the other component is support to township and rural enterprises. We know that township and rural enterprises, they have different challenges compared to enterprises that are in the urban areas. The issues around the infrastructure support is very critical. We are in the process of developing an integrated township and rural enterprise strategy. We know that different departments are sitting with different documents. Economic development nationally, they've handed over the township economic strategy. We are talking to Department Fundamental for Rural Development, because they also have a rural enterprise industrial development strategy, because we're instructed to come up with one document. There is no point in each and every department sitting with a strategy on its own. So we are working on this project through the economic cluster at national level to ensure that we come up with one strategy that will be supported by all government departments. Police and regulatory environment is one of the things that has been raised by SMEs, that we have so many rules, and even though we have some of them, we are not implementing all of them. So we are looking at those areas that are affecting the operations, or are negatively affecting the operations of the SMEs. We are working with the municipalities, looking at those vitals, finding the most effective way of implementing, ensuring that we implement these vitals, but these vitals are not a hindrance to economic development. One of the areas that we're also working on is reviewing the Small Business Act. We know that we have a very old Small Business Act, which has been overtaken by events. So we'll be working closely with the provinces here in reviewing those sections of the Act to ensure that it also assists us to implement the mandate of the Department of Small Business Development. Then within the department, there are some financial support instruments that we have. Most of them were transferred from the Department of Trade and Industry. For example, the first one, which is the Black Business Strategic Loan Program, is one of the key programs that was transferred from the Department of Trade and Industry. So under that program, we've come up with a youth Black Business Strategic Loan Program, because we understand that youth, they have serious challenges when it comes to access to finance. Then they call for collateral and all these other things, which are difficult, you know, for the youth to find, because it's the youth, you know, it's young people, they don't have all these assets. So we've come up with a program that will address that particular challenge that is being faced by the youth. Women Business Development Scheme, we know that the issue of ensuring that women participate effectively in the economic development, we've come up with an instrument that will just be focusing on assisting women-owned enterprises, ensuring that they access finance, and then they operate, you know, as viable businesses as well. Then cooperative incentive program, the instrument that is directed towards assisting primary cooperatives. We provide them with instruments that they need. For now, the grant is kept at 350,000. But I must indicate to honourable members that we are in the process of reviewing all these instruments, because most of them were developed when we still part of the DTI, and we understand that the DTI, they have bigger focus areas like industrial development. So these programs were just developed to assist SMEs and COVID. But now that we have a department that is supposed to assist SMEs and COVID, we need to come up with programs that are going to be impactful and are relevant to SMEs and cooperatives. Then we have an instrument called Shared Economic Infrastructure Facility. This program is part of the instrument that was developed under the National Informal Business Assistance Strategy. Here we are looking at providing or assisting informal businesses with facilities that they can use to conduct their business in. We call it shared because we want some sort of ownership from the provinces or municipalities, as well as the people who will be occupying these facilities. So we contribute a certain percentage as a department, and we expect the other parties to come up with a contribution. We've already adjusted this facility to ensure that in cases where a private sector partner is willing to assist, because we find that especially in those mining towns, the mining companies, they want to contribute something to the local economy. So if they are also willing to contribute something, we can partner with that mining company and ensure that we build a facility for informal businesses in that locality. The other issue here is the issue of ownership, because we know that we have industrial parks in South Africa. Then the other new program that are still under development is the informal and micro enterprise development program. This instrument is directed towards informal businesses, individual informal businesses. Here we look at funding or supporting with tools of trade informal businesses that are operating in municipalities. We provide them with, for example, if someone is conducting cooking food, instead of them sitting outside, we can provide them with those mobile kitchens. It's a very small funding that we have, but we believe that it can change the way businesses are operating by providing the appropriate infrastructure to these businesses. Included in this is the business development support. We have a partnership with USAID and the Health Center, where we started training some of the informal businesses with basic business development skills, assisting them with safety issues, health standards, because you know that most of them are involved in catering business, but you find their meat lying around with flies flying all over. So we partnered with the USAID and the Health Center. They are assisting us to train these informal businesses to make sure that their food is properly packaged, they are not exposed to health hazards and all those other issues. Then the last one is Emerging Enterprise Development Program. Here we discovered that we don't have an instrument that will assist these startup enterprises. So we've come up with a program that will talk to that, because these other instruments like Black Business Supply Development Program is for enterprises that have been in operation, for example, for a year, who can produce an annual turnover, at least 250,000 annual turnover. So we've come up with this other instrument to address that gap that we've identified when we're still part of the DTI. So this program is still under construction as well. Hopefully we'll have it very soon. Then I'll request the CEO of FIFA to talk to me. Yes, sir.
Good morning, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members. The opportunity to share with you what we do as a small enterprise finance agency. I would like to begin by just sharing with you in terms of the financing instrument that we provide to SMEs and cooperatives. Our role is to really provide access to finance to small businesses, including cooperatives, for them to be able to address the challenges that we face in the country, the challenge of unemployment, inequality, and poverty. So we believe that our funding instrument will really go a long way in assisting the small businesses in this space. We have got two channels that we provide access to finance, which I'm going to share with you momentarily in more detail, direct lending and the wholesale. But on the direct lending is where we use our branch network throughout the country. We provide loan instruments to SMEs and cooperatives. We provide what we call the bridging loan. Bridging loan is particular for those that will have contracts. Let's say you have a contract with either private and public sector. It's either the contract to build schools, clinics, and to mend the roads, and they're looking for just funding for that period, usually about 90 days. And we then provide the funding and the bridging loan. For those that are looking for long-term, who want to pay over a period of 5 years, we provide what's called the SM loan facility. And we have realized that SMEs and cooperatives, from time to time, for them to be able to execute their business activities, they will require a plant and equipment. For example, if you're in the agricultural space, you need to be able to buy tractors. You need to be able to buy high equipment, and you're looking for funding for that. So we have what we call the asset-based finance to assist in that respect. Revolving credit facility is for those clients that have proven themselves that yes, we have given them largely the bridging loan first, and they've been doing well. Instead of them asking them through the same process again, we give them what we call a revolving credit facility, where if they have a new contract, it just revolves on what we have given them. We don't have to take them through the same process again. We also have what we call the wholesale lending. This is what we inherited from the previous S1 institution, Kula and Stamak, where we provide on lending facilities to our partners who then on lend to small businesses. So we call them the business loan type of facilities. We also have what we call the funds, joint ventures, where we partner with other institutions. One of the examples that we have partnered with Anglo Zimed, which is participating in the mining space, where we have realized that small businesses, they want to participate in the mining space, and within SIFA we will have necessary capabilities to execute this type of transaction. So Anglo Zimed will come up with the skills and capabilities around assessing the funding in mining. For example, the small-scale miners might want to get involved in the exploration type of activity. They want to do the drilling. They want to do all the mining, either open or closed cut type of mining, and they're looking for facilities. So we have put 100 million, Anglo's made a put 100 million. We'll then be able to assist anyone in small business space who wants to participate in the mining activity. It was for a project that is worth about 30 million now. Credit indemnity scheme. We have an insurance company, which is called Kula Credit Guarantee, where we indemnify commercial banks to lend money to small businesses. This is a way of trying to really provide opportunities for those small businesses that go to banks and are unable to get funding because of perception of high risk, and the banks will then be able to provide them with a facility, either a term loan or a working capital facility. Should they fail for this thing, largely it's because of the difficult market challenges, we will be able to indemnify banks anything between 60% and 90%. The Land Reform Empowerment Facility is what we have been managing over the years, over 10 years now, on behalf of the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform, largely for the beneficiaries of the land claims. So that when people claim the land, they must take the land into fruition. Instead of just taking the land without doing anything with the land, so help them to buy imagination, a working capital activity, so that they can take the land into activity. That is with regard to the funding instrument. When we look in terms of a model, as I said briefly earlier, we provide funding through direct lending, where we have got our branch network throughout the country. We provide as little as 50,000 to 5 million. So anyone looking for facilities, small businesses, and the corporations looking for facilities to really start, grow, or expand their business operation will then be able to assist them in the funding from 50,000 to 5 million through the branch network throughout the country. The wholesale lending facility, as I said earlier, is where we utilize our partners as conduits to make sure money is made available. This is precisely in instances where we are not able to really reach all, to increase our scale across the country, where we utilize the existing intermediaries who already have the reach, who already have the capability to provide finance, particularly the micro finance institutions and the retail financial intermediaries. We also have what we call the credit guarantee scheme, as I indicated, where we utilize the insurance scheme. So in the wholesale facility, we can lend from at least 500 rand. 500 rand to 5 million. 500 rand is largely for the micro enterprises, traders who are selling Facebook, for example, in the corner street, who are looking for 3,500. Who are selling small groceries, they are looking for funding. They are not looking for a big amount of money, but they need to be able to survive. What we call the parallel or the second economy, the informal sector, looking for funding from our institution, will then be able to assist them from time to time with the funding. The average in this space on the micro enterprise space is about 3,500. What are the plans in terms of our activities? We believe that as a development finance institution, we need to address the market failure, where banks are afraid to enter in. We said we need to be able to assist those that can't be able to get funding from mainstream commercial banks. We see ourselves as a catalyst in terms of unlocking the opportunities for SMEs and corporations for them to be able to address the challenges that we face. We also say we need to be transformative. In terms of our funding activities, we require that each and every business that we fund has to have a developmental agenda. We fund businesses that say they will be able to create jobs, the funding of businesses that require to be owned by women, owned by people with disabilities, by youth, as well as those that are in priority rural areas. So we believe that for us to be able to do this, we can't do it on our own, as the DC has indicated. We need to partner area really is developmental in nature. So we believe that we need to make sure that those targeted groups that need to be supported. I mentioned about the people living with disability in particular, they need to be able to get support from our institution. We identified quite a number of areas for us to be able to assist in terms of sectors. We believe that agriculture provide a number of opportunities, and in particular looking at agriculture value chain activity. So we have identified the need to really develop what we call the franchising concept in the area, for example, of bread making, the co-ops, and the small bakeries for us, for people to be able to really do their farming activity. Bulk buying is one of the areas that we need to provide support, and by so doing, we then mobilize funds to be able to ensure that we provide funding opportunities. From the cooperative space, we identify opportunities within the secondary cooperative, where the offtake, for example, agreement with the like of big chain stores, who can be able to provide them with the opportunity to supply to them, and who then be able to help them from the funding perspective, either within the capital or the term loan facility. And that's what we assist in that area. So we really look at all sectors of the economy, although we also emphasize on the priority sector of ICT, mining, manufacturing, agriculture, and then tourism. What is it that makes us different from a commercial bank? We believe that as a development finance institution, we have got a high appetite for it. We venture into projects that largely the commercial bank won't want to get in, because we look at opportunities from a developmental angle. So we are saying, if one has come to our institution to borrow funding, let's say today, and then can be able to pay from 12 months from today. Because one of the things that we have identified is that, particularly if it's a startup, if it's a tourism type of venture, you are building a small bed and breakfast. Takes you about 8 months or so to build. You need to be able to really build in the cash flow to be able to start paying. So we can give SMEs and cooperatives what we call a capital holiday or a moratorium up to a period of 12 months. And in certain instances, we can be able to capitalize the interest up to 6 months. This is to provide the opportunity for the SMEs and cooperatives to be able to ramp up their cash flow for them to be able to. So don't want to stifle them in terms of paying while their business has not really been able to cash flow. So we fund all types of businesses, particularly the startups, and we say we do not provide collateral. We do not require, we don't require collateral. But if collateral is there, the entrepreneurs can be able to provide. But if you go to a bank, invariably you're looking for funding below 500,000. Banks will not necessarily provide you with funding if it's not backed by collateral. We also provide a collaboration with our sister agency, CISA, both pre- and post-investment support to our entrepreneur. And then we say, if one has got an adequate credit record, we have identified challenges where SMEs and corporations, some of them, the owners who have adequate credit records. They might have been blacklisted for minor things, and we say we need to be able to look at each case on its own merit. So we are saying, if you have got an adequate credit record, we are not unnecessarily going to refuse you with funding. All we want to ask the client is to say, have you made arrangement with your creditors? As we are registered with the National Credit Regulator, we can't be reckless in terms of funding, but at the same time, we need to be able to assess the nature or the severity of those adverse credit records. So we provide funding to those that have got a negative credit record, provided the arrangement has been made with their creditors to pay. We do not require security as a first, but if security is there, we need to be able to provide, because it helps to cushion the risk. In 2018, we have launched in collaboration with NYDA, the IDC, a funding totaling 2.7 billion rand, wherein CIFA has contributed 1.7 billion rand for businesses that are owner managed by young people. Because we believe that the majority of people that are unemployed in this country are young people. So we have put in 1.7 billion rand. Of this today, I'm safe to say that over 450 million rand of the 1.7 billion rand that CIFA contributed has been made available by way of investment into the economy for businesses that are owner managed by young people. The footprint in terms of what we are, as I said, we are present in all provinces. We have got in certain provinces we have got more than one office. We also participate through our strategic partners. We also have the funds that I've mentioned, specialized funds. We co-locate with CIDA. What we also did is that as per our collaboration with CIDA, over the past 18 months, in various branches of FIDA, because they have a more network, we help in terms of assisting our FIDA colleagues to articulate the funding product that I mentioned at the beginning of my presentation to the FIDA colleagues, so that when clients come in, they can be able to be assisted. So we have identified the need to really increase our reach. We identified 87 new access points in various district municipalities, so that we can be able to really up our scale, and at the same time, we can be able to reach more of our clientele. And this will do largely through what we call the co-location that the DG alluded to earlier. Just to share with you that what we have done in the province, this is just for the quarter. For the quarter that we have done, not just ended now, the first quarter ended the 30th of June this year. We have disbursed a total of 344 million. Disbursement meaning money that has gone out into the economy, of which 260 million has gone to business owner managed by black people. People with disabilities, disbursed to the young people for this quarter, that ended 70 million, and the women 189 million. And then we also say while our limit, the upper limit is 75 million, we also want to ensure that we also target those that are looking for a small amount. So we have a target of 250,000 rand to say we need to be able to ensure that how much of the 250,000 or how many are assisted in the 250,000 range. And then as a result of that, we have got 77 million that has been dispersed. You will be able to see in terms of the provinces, activities that we've done. And our objective is to ensure that the priority provinces have more chunk in terms of activity. So we're endeavoring from time to time to increase our activities in the priority provinces. Priority provinces we define as those provinces rather than the big metro, Western Cape, KwaZulu-Natal, and Gauteng. It does not mean that we don't fund into those provinces. Those provinces also have the rural, large rural areas and rural areas. But we also want to balance our funding activities. We also assist in terms of funding to those that are in rural provinces. Since the establishment of CIFA about 3.5 years ago, I'm pleased to say that we have made available funding in terms of disbursement over 2.4 billion rand to date to SMEs and corporates. And then there are also challenges that we face from time to time. Like I was saying, my office from time to time, I need to be able to ensure I address the complaints, I address the challenges that SMEs face. While we are taking high level of risk, we are also subjected to high level of impairment. We have a challenge with regard to collection in certain areas where our clientele do not pay back. But another challenge that we face is where they receive contracts from the public sector, in government, for example. It's either when they are delayed in terms of payments, they do not pay us. Or they receive funding, or they receive the invoice, and then they receive the funding, and then they don't pay us, and as a result, it increases the level of impairment. So what we have engaged with our executive authority, the Department of Small Business Development, is to facilitate the need of what we call the sessions of contracts. So that for those who get contracts, CIFA get paid first, so that they will utilize the proceeds to pay for other projects. Other areas you see in my previous slide, in terms of the people living with disabilities, it's one area that we have just done over 5 million rand in terms of disbursement. We need to be able to do a bit more. We have identified the need to really collaborate with associations and organizations are formed or owned by people with disabilities to be able to increase our reach. Kulatele that I think Tim has spoken about, the uptake of late hasn't been that great, so we believe that there's a need to really collaborate with the banks. We have decided that to take it not only with banks but also to do it outside banks. So we have a property portfolio in various townships. Some of them are historical in nature, where we have challenges in terms of the collection of the rent. We believe that as an organization we continue to be recapitalized to be able to do more in terms of our funding activities. We continue to build our internal capacity so that all the products or the referrals that come to us will be able to use from time, and also increase the turnaround, reduce the turnaround time, so that we will be able to speedily make sure that funding is made available to SMEs and corporates. But so doing, we will be able to reduce the rent. Thank you, Honorable Shepherd.
Thank you very much. Before we ask you, and before we ask you,
Machering, of Kabonga, is a head of regions responsible for the south, which is Western Cape, KwaZulu-Natal, Free State, and Northern Cape, as well as the Eastern Cape. And then the executive manager responsible for all our regions, who the two regional managers report to, Mr. Jan Kutia, has also joined us so that he can be able to help me to answer some of the difficult questions that I managed today. Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Thanks, Honorable Chair, and thanks, members, for also inviting Sira to come into this today. I think first, before I go into the program, I'll just give a sense of the two models that Sira uses to provide non-financial support SMEs, which these programs then plug into. The first one is through the Sira branch network, where clients would work typically from their businesses. They would come in from time to time to receive these based support. So the model works is the SME comes in, and then you do an assessment, trying to identify and say, here are the outcomes that we want to reach with you. Might be 3 years, I want you to live, want you to export, want you to grow your market by so much. So if we are doing an outcome of front of the SME, then look at all the interventions that are needed to push you from where you are to where the to that desired stage. And then you provide this this episodic support to small businesses. So that would be one model. The second model then is incubation, where we work with these incubators throughout the country, currently sitting in 48. Across all sessions, but advised towards the practical level, where we provide support. We provide support to them to the incubation, and we find that they meet the entry criteria, and they can incubate in secret over a 3 year period, where they get full time support in terms of the premises, technical support, access to market, and that will be the second model. Where once they reach a certain level of comfort, they will then graduate. They will take a new intake. So those are the two models that CEDA utilizes to provide their programs that are listed on the slide. I'll just briefly touch on some of these programs. The Gazelle Enterprise Accelerator Network program is one program that was just recently launched beginning of this month. What you're trying to do, you're trying to create a platform where we're currently putting in as many stakeholders as possible that are involved in small business development. The aim is to identify 200 high-growth small businesses every year for the next 10 years, basically what you call a Gazelle. The term is that they should be able to bring us to the next level. So trying to identify these 200 every year, the plan is that after 10 years, we have 2,000 high-growth small businesses in South Africa, spread out across 10 priority sectors. So this is a program that should be, this should enable you to get what you call a platinum service. This should be the breeding ground for the next stage, which should be industrial. BESD is a program that we're running with the higher education department, as well as GIZ, which is the German Technical Advisory Agency. We identify 100 youth. We train these youth to then go out and identify 10 people each per year, so then they can provide further training. And so it is after the program has come to its end in 3 years, we have about 100 youth that have been trained to see some basic training and how to provide basic support and advice to small businesses. And this will be the pool that organizations such as these and your agency offices can then tap into to recruit these people. We also provide access to markets, really looking at getting SMEs to visit as many procurement portals as possible. Also take people through the whole stage of development if you want to export, what it takes to export in the entire market, getting to the point really where you go on trade missions and are able to access these markets. Also provide mentorship and coaching. Providing mentorship and coaching in two forms. One form would be a one-to-many approach. If you're still at your early stage in your business, you provide a one-to-many approach where one mentor can do good mentorship, because mentorship is quite an expensive intervention. Then as your business advances, you might either need coaching or mentorship, either on the technical side. So you typically find a business owner, I might have a degree in engineering, but I don't know how to run the business out of it. So I get someone will be able to mentor me in terms of financial management, human resource management, how to master my business. Or vice versa, I might be a very good person on the business side, but then the technical side. So you find a mentor that can augment the business on the side, that you've assessed to be natural. Also work on supply development. How this works is to identify an organization, private and public sector, what sectors they're willing to partner with us in develop suppliers, and then identify small businesses and work with the suppliers to say, these are the kinds of identified over 2 to 3 year period to work and develop their capacity and capabilities. So when they graduate, they can then stay there and be able to bid for hands and work with the organization. we provide cognitive support at primary and secondary level, but primary level really is the whole issue of mobilizing people to form a cooperative, to register a cooperative, the whole legality, and then also to access any other business support services. So we look at cooperative as viable business. Then once you've got a sizable pool of primary cooperatives in a certain sector, we then encourage those primary cooperatives to cooperate at a secondary level, where you might typically find those people that are brought to network in one area and say, why don't you just concentrate at primary level, not going into business, but get somebody at a secondary level to do your marketing. So you focus on how to do that, which is a great investment. Also working on a program which is called HOMO. It's a program that we switched from in Japan as a certified that's called One Village, One Product, where you identify a product that is unique to an area, for example. And then you really work around creating a value chain around that product that is unique to that area. We also provide training on national and international standards, your ISO standards, your health standards. Really for small businesses that want to enter your more established supply chain with a certain requirement, you need to comply with certain standards. We provide that training, also provide training on quality and do quality audits, really to get businesses to the ISO compliant. Also the manufacturing support program. Also the information program where we get information that is really important for small businesses. One of the critical challenges that small businesses face really is access to information. You might be going into a step, they don't really know what the economic outlook is for that sector for the next 3 to 6 months and how you work around those challenging situations. So we get data and intelligence from a wide range of authorities and then try and sort of summarize it and give that to us. I mean, so I think you know that I'm in tourism, for example. So this is what is happening in my sector. This is the next 3 to 6 months in a year's time. Here are the key growth markets for the kind of tourism. We also run the SME payment assistance hotline on behalf of the GSPD. So what happens with this one is if a small business doesn't get paid within the stipulated 30 days, they then lodge a call with the hotline. So I've done business with this organization of this government entity at all three levels. They provide the information, who they deal with, the nature of the job, the purchase order, the invoice, everything. Then the hotline follows up to really try and close it. I think since inception in 2009, we've had over 400 million rand of late payments for small businesses. Obviously, if you look at the fact that most small businesses, especially in industries like entertainment, where if you get a contract to provide an event, you probably outsource your AV equipment to someone, your catering to someone, your for someone else. So if you don't get paid, the effect is that you're not able to pay the guy with some contracts. Because not paying one small business could actually kill a couple of other small businesses. Also, I'm looking at promotion of entrepreneurship where we target schools really going ahead and really trying to create the culture of entrepreneurship at that level, not really waiting for people to start thinking of entrepreneurship as an option when they can't find a job. So we believe that if you can really try to go in as early as possible, we can create and change the South Africa's entrepreneurial culture. So if you look at what the GEM report really says, that the entrepreneurial culture in South Africa tends to be low when compared to other countries. So we believe really if you can try and get it in at an early level, you can change the situation. We also provide awareness on the incentive schemes that the department because of our network. People come through to the network, they get information that if you're at this stage, typically you qualify for this one. And this is a process that you would need to apply for that incentive. Then the other three programs, one would be the incubation, which I did mention, running the network of currently 48 incubations. We also assist a lot on conformity assessments and product testing. And we also run an incentive, which is a technology transfer incentive, capped at 600,000. So if you basically operating in manufacturing in some sort of but on assessment, you feel that you could, let's say you mentioned candles, but the machine you're using is very outdated and there's very high level of failures and waste. We feel that if you could invest in new machinery, new technology to train on that, it would be more efficient and it could increase your produce and it could probably supply candles that you could sell on to your region. And so there's an incentive that you also run just a small business. Basically, get small businesses in manufacturing at a second economy level to try and give them a push to operate and compete at a first economy level. Then the next slide is giving a sense of CEDA's budget, what we've actually received in the past, end-to-end web implants. And as you can see, total programs just under 500 million that there is only in 2017, 2018, which I anticipate that it will be time. And then that shipping also has been 30, I think 120, 130 million. So once you look at this, this budget allocation, with the size of the SME sector, if you look at the last study that is most quoted in South Africa, the fiscal study done in 2010, it says there's nearly 6 million small businesses in South Africa. So that's what you have to try and stretch. So you've got 6 million small businesses in a country with a low general culture. There's a lot of these small businesses do need support, they do need holding to really navigate this challenging terrain. So that's the budget you have. So you have to try and stretch as much as possible. That's why partnership for us become very important, especially in areas where areas such as prolocation really, as opposed to us opening branches all over, we try and get local government to give us space, we can tell small businesses. Also looking at your enterprise development programs in the private sector, how can you partner with those to really try and stretch some resources? But we try as much as we can to spread the resources to address what is a very big sector. Also, if you look at and say 90% of the jobs going for need to come from the sector. So that's a pressure that we are and trying to work with them with the resources allocated. So while focusing on job, on really getting small businesses to create jobs, increase turnovers, and also to sustain themselves, especially during that initial 36 months, because that's where most small businesses are, like, trying to get most of them to survive too. But there's a couple of areas that we are focusing on. Innovation has proven to us to be a very effective model of sort of achieving those outcomes of creating jobs, increasing turnover, but also of creating sustainable products. So we really went out to the private and public sector and trying to get partnerships to increase from the current network of 48. Focusing attention on collective reforms and large-scale projects, really looking at creating cooperatives that are viable big businesses. Can also create value chains around them. Marketing the SME payment assistance frontline, especially the current challenges, because small businesses don't get paid on time. Within no time, they really start feeling the cash flow challenges. So that's one area that you really are pushing. Public-private partnerships are also very important if you're looking at the resource constraints, not just for us, but generally for the whole public sector. So there's funds, I think, that one can tap into the private sector. You just need to create models or programs that are attractive to those. And then also directing intervention at the medium-sized enterprises. Small business in South Africa, according to jobs, anyone employing less than 200 people is classified as a small business. Our current profile is that there's a high concentration of the ones employing 20 and less. And research has shown that jobs come from the ones 21 to 200. So we're trying to balance our portfolio to have a fair representation in both sides. Both sides are equal resources. But we have to come up with programs that are attractive and will attract the ones employed between 21 and 200. So access to market, mentorship and coaching, technology transfer, those are the programs that we're directing to that segment, which is called the small and medium-sized segment. And then also because of the large organization that we have, 600 staff members, and quite an expansive network, our support functions are very important. We have to ensure that our business advisors have the appropriate skills and resources to deliver on this. Our ICT infrastructure has to be very good to trying to get intelligence and information on time. But also believe that with over 10 years of operating in this space, there's a lot of research and intelligence that we have that in as much as our focus is delivery, we can contribute to the discourse around small business development in South Africa. Then this is the slide that really shows the categories of SMEs, which I said is anyone under 20. So the cutoff really is between a very small and a small. That's where you can start seeing a distinction between the two. We are very small and micro, mostly necessity, survival, and pain. So typically the people who, a large number of people that can't find a job, so the person says, my next option is to try and start a business. So you really have to start from scratch. What is an opportunity? How do you identify one? How do you do research? What is the market? But work with them. They move up to very small and ask you to small, medium, and hopefully become large businesses. Then your small and medium enterprises, those are the ones that are more opportunity driven. The guy has identified the market. He's seen the gap in the market. He knows how to how to sort of operate and exploit that opportunity. But in my need mentorship support, in my need access to finance, in my need some great material from to establish himself in that market. So the products often tend to vary from if you look at the very small and micro as well as the top. The guy at the top is fairly developed in terms of technical skill or business, but he might just need skills here and there. The guys at the bottom generally on both sides, on the technical and the business side, they need assistance. But both are equally important. You just need to make a decision that at the bottom is more inclusivity, really having the mentality where that's the outcome that you really want to see. At the top, that's what the is coming through. But it should be seen as a you're trying to push people from micro to very small and small to medium. Then this is a slide of a CEO that seems as a the NCT executive is choosing 48 incubators instead of 70, it is correct, but the rest of the network is correct. So how the network is working, you see that got the head office in Pretoria, then you've got 9 provincial offices, you've got 43 CEDA branches spread out throughout the country. Now the branches are basically a small business would come in and get assessed and then be able to access the support interventions from there. Your satellite offices, there's two in the Free State and then there's 12 in the Western Cape. The Western Cape one is a program here called the Red Dot Program, which has now been merged under CEDA. So that's why there's this high concentration of satellite offices in the Western Cape. Then you have the 48 incubators. You've got 29 co-location points. The co-location point is basically we enter into a partnership with mostly local government authorities and say to them, can you allocate space to us on certain days? We'll come and assist small businesses from their office as opposed to us establishing a branch. So branch costs are 500 rand to run. But it's either for you to take your business either from a nearby branch and get it from the small businesses in that place. A mobile unit is an extension of our branches where we then get a CEDA branded vehicle that is able to drive out to far outlying areas, provinces, for example, like your Northern Cape areas in the Northwest, where you really can, on predetermined days, drive out and really bring assist clients from those areas. Then information kiosks are computer terminals that really provide support and good information to SMEs. You can bring a CD, you can bring a USB, and you can download as much information. So you find these at your public access points, your libraries, for example. So that's the network that CEDA has that SMEs can access our support interventions from. I think I'll just skip this slide because it hasn't been updated. So it's looking at the one for the website. But the network is really spread out throughout the country. My colleague usually says, I think the South African Post Office would have a network that is larger than the CEDA one. Then the next slide is just definitions of the service network. The branches, you have a large, small, or medium branch. Your large branch is what you typically find in your metro. Your small branch is town, metro, so around 80 feet, you find a small branch. Then you find your medium branch in other. So the branch network really is determined by the economic environment in that place. So you typically find in Uten, you find a very large branch because of activity. They're also trying to have a bias toward manufacturing because that tends to be the sector that is in. Then the satellite branches are linked to an existing branch. So the branch manager would then also be responsible for the satellite branch. Typically, one or two business advisors and information officer that's able to go out and give information to potential clients and then also reception. And then on the mobile units, yeah, like I said, it's CEDA branded mobile offices that are just basically on certain days, the business advisor starts the market, pulls this caravan, comes in a certain area, and then small business is coming and get assistance. He then gets all the information back to the office and then uploads it on to them. And then co-location is the one where we work with the LED offices and get our clients, our business advisors to assist small businesses from there. This one really helps us in that basically the place is offered to us for free. You just need to be able to get there, have your computer to be able to assist small businesses from that. Then information kiosks, again as I said, take some of the research information but also links to all of the relevant people that play in this space, DMI, the commercial bank, the contact details of all the processes, your CIPC, So you can come in if you're computer savvy and actually work with it. But in certain instances, if the channel is a local library, you've been trained on this, they can help you navigate. You can download the information. Obviously, they wanted people to print, but then it comes at a cost, so try and encourage them to download and then and work the document at their own time. So that should be an overview of either.
Thank you very much. Honourable members, we have had a long time for the presentation, but because it was brief, that is understandable. Can we appreciate the presentations? Small business development is very, very important for us. And I'm hoping that through the questions we would be able to illustrate to the staff within this department and its supporting units also how much we expect from the department. Can we open the floor for questions? I notice Honourable Faber, I'll introduce the members to you now. Let me just see if there's other hands. Honourable Tether, and then let's come back to, let's do it this way, let's get the political discussion. Honourable Faber, Honourable Tether, Honourable Lond, and then Honourable Timunia. Now, Honourable Faber comes from the Northern Cape. Honourable Lond comes from the Western Cape, or rather represents the Western Cape. That's fine, good. Honourable Ntebe is representing Northwest, and Honourable Timunia, who is the furthest from here, he is representing Mpumalanga. Please proceed, Honourable Fagler.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, on page 13 is what listened about CIFA. Now, I've gone on to the internet, as you know, we are supposed to use electronic equipment that was given to us widely. So I was looking at the 2011 and on Google, and there were some things on the I want to say, what is the irrecoverable loans on CIFA? Because it was 53% of the 7.1 million in 2011-12. I would like to know what the situation stands now after 4 years from then. Did it grow worse? Because I mean that was 7.1 million. What is the amount per year in the last, let's say, 2-3 financial years? And what was the recovery rate of this? Then I also want to know, in 2011 it was asked about the intermediaries. And I want to know if you are still using them, because apparently they were making up to 40% of profit. So I want to know what is the percentage on these loans for small businesses at the moment? And then the last thing I would like to know is what is your successes in getting the money back, recovery rate? What is your percentage successes at this moment? Thank you.
Thank you very much. Honourable Chairman.
No, Chair, I'm not going to start with the disclaimer like Honourable Faber. I was listening to the representation turning to one. I find it difficult to understand. One, the last time we had a meeting with you, you were still trying to get the transfer of some other responsibilities to what had done. Secondly, the level of your impact. I did not see. I was having a caucus with my fellow member here from Mpumalanga. And in our caucus chair, we were asking ourselves whether I said to the Honorable Ntshimonye, does he know one person that has been assisted? One, I don't want 10, just one person that has been assisted. Because we would want to see progress. And we are not there yet. Issues of market penetration. More often than not, your presentation never misses to elevate that point. But to what extent are our people having access to market? I'll give you an example. We are fresh as the MCOP from the provincial meeting. And part of which we did as the Northwest delegation was to visit 10 kilometers from an area called Fenderstone. Visit the Wikuso Pigari project. Project started some years ago by women doing what was not expected of them at the time. Starting a cooperative, Pigari cooperative, out of their own money. Department of Agriculture years later came into the picture and tried to assist them. But you know what happened? People who are central in the market came in, said we are going to assist you with market penetration, took stock, sold, robbed the old women, and when these people were finally caught, they then applied for you. I'm speaking to you, they are all. Where is this department? We visited them last week. They are crying. They are complaining. There's no assistance. There's nothing on the part that they are getting from our own government. And these are the stories that we would want to hear from you. I'm not sure if we come in closer to addressing these issues. There's practical issues in your presentation. The issue of CEDA trying to elevate this notion of one municipality, one product, how feasible is it? Because there's proliferation of cooperatives. People are just going into cooperatives for the sake of it. Because they are not getting necessary education for them to be able to know what is it that they want to do. We have been told that this incubator program, you want to tell me that in Northwest you only have one incubator product? In a province that has declared agriculture as the key pillar, for instance. And but quite explicit in my the issue that I want to raise is that we are like throwing money into a deep hole. I've never seen somebody who has been assisted and that person has now reached. He has gone beyond breaking even. He's now making profit and he's now able to stand alone and be able to do what is expected of him. And we're having all this money flushed into these programs and these programs are not bearing fruit. But we would want to get a sense. I mean, this whole finance that we got there from CIPA, who are you financing? Because these people, we must be able to meet them. When we visit projects in different provinces, we do intense research to make sure that we see these people. And where are they? Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much. Honorable Nanda, I'm going to ask you to bear with us. Because of the importance of the conference, to allow or request the colleagues to respond, before we go to the next round, because we don't want to miss the point that we also the strong point that he's making about who are the people that's actually bankrupt. To say that we have entrepreneurs today, and understanding of the concern that you're raising. But to say to the department as well that what is happening is that we have, for example, when we were in Eastern Cape earlier this year, we went to a project there in the Nelson Mandela Bay and heard about this young woman that has become a black man in a Sida project there. Remember that site that we were visiting when we went to the different offices? But what we are saying is that the expectations that we have from them are very high, because the challenges of inequality and poverty and unemployment that you have referred to as well are very important for us to be addressed. We can understand that you are only operating for 1 year. But together with that question, we also say, but what are you doing differently now that we have the separate Department of Small Business Development? We have particularly evaluated what has happened in GTI, what has happened in the EDD, and then said, but let's have a separate Department of Small Business Development so that the impact can become visible to us. And I think the point that we're making is to say that it's not known to us how great that impact is. And when we raise it, we're not raising it because we're criticizing. We're raising it because of the importance of helping you to improve on that. If you come here and you give us an indication that everything is okay, you may not get the support from the select that you could get if you also point out to us, my friend, what your challenges are. Wonderful.
Just 2 points on the financing, which ties on, and then I'll come back to the others later. We've made the suggestion before, because this direct lending doesn't seem to work, and there I think why myself and the Omni Table agree that there should be a different approach in how we do this funding. I see about, I think, 85% of your budget is already going to transfers. That's not being managed. You transfer to this agency and that agency and another agency. What thought has been given to ensure that we establish something like a national venture capital fund that's managed by professionals and that it's got oversight by the minister and the department? I'll stick to that one for now, and I'll come back to my other second round too.
Thank you very much. Can we allow you? I have noticed something like 10 questions to respond to those, please. Can I ask you in your responses to be as concise as we possibly can? We're hoping to be out of here by 12.
Okay, then, Chair, I'll allow you all the first question to answer.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chairperson. I just want to begin by saying that the information on 2011, so that precedes the new CIFA in terms of the numbers that our legislature gave in terms of the average where we are currently now. So CIFA was established on the 1st of April 2012. In terms of the level of impairment, we define impairment as non-performing loans as a percentage of total loans and advances. For the year that ended, which we are coming to report here in 2000, for the 2014-2015 was sitting at 22%. Non-performing impairment as a percentage of total loans and advances. But you have to look in terms of the active portfolio of FIFA projects. That includes the legacy transaction. The percentage of non-performing loans within the active portfolio alone as at the end of March is sitting at 33%. That's the situation where we are currently. We don't have enough time. I wanted just to share with you in terms of some of the success stories. I think it was because of the time when we were putting together the presentation, when we condensed it, some of the success stories we wouldn't be able to really put them on the slide. But I would just like to share maybe a few. Okay. Maybe you can just go to the next one, or the chat, and just go to some of them down.
Rainbow.
I can come back to the Rainbow one, yeah. Of what comes out of Rainbow. We have accepted quite a number of lines in various provinces, Honorable Chairperson. For example, in the Eastern Cape, we have accepted this line that assisted in creating 5 jobs and then maintain around 156 jobs. We gave them a $5 million grant. Of course, but again, area in the Eastern Cape. In the Chimba activity, it's owned by Vuyo Kurula, who approached us for funding, and then we have assisted in that regard. The other assisted is called Amadwala Trading, which is based in East London. Part of the created, we've given the client $350,000. They are in the sector of supply and delivery. I'll be very, very brief, Honorable Chairperson, just to say what we did is that we give 2 examples per province, just to show in terms of the activities that we've done. Mitali Trading and Project, they are in the supply and delivery of tooling activities based also in the Eastern Cape. We have given them $180,000 funding. In the Free State, just to be very brief, we've given the client called Max Munches dog food. What they do is that, you know, they process the dog food in the area. They are in the agro-processing space. Some jobs are created as a result, and we've given them $1.3 million. They are based in Belarus. We have also assisted in the same province a client with $1.8 million. They participate in manufacturing. They're called Kanawe Trading and Project. This company was established in 2014. And then they come to see for the rest about us when we're doing some of the roadshows from the media. Located in Bromberg, they're only 100% owned by Black. And then they are in the space of manufacturing, as you could see. And then we have, they are in the charcoal type of businesses. They manufacture the charcoal cricket and the firelight. We then assisted them in the first place. There's one client also that got $1.4 million. From FIFA, also in the province of the Free State, and that is in the agricultural space, it resulted in the 11 jobs being created. This company is owned by Mr. Van der Waals, and they are in the organic compost type of activities. To go quickly into Gauteng, in Sevisa, we have assisted a company that participates in construction called Link Health Consulting. We have given them $4.9 million facility. And as a result of that, they are going to create 153 jobs. And then DN in Kenya, or also in Kalteng, in the Centurion, as a result of the funding that received from CIFA, they are able to facilitate 64 jobs. We gave them $4.3 million. They cut this planting into through the 50 where there's the ESCOM line. They got a contract to be able to remove and reduce the planting that interfere with the line of in KZN in Brief, you might know a restaurant called Kubana. We have worked 1 year in the Western Cape. We just funded the one that is based in Richards Bay. We gave them $4.5 million. We believe that 50 jobs will be created. Now this space the working shift. It's a restaurant franchise business. Money coming from $4.6 million. We also assisted in the area of Port Edward. It's a company that's involved in green manufacturing. We gave them $5 million, and then the company is based in the Port Edward, as I indicated, and they're called Advanced Carbon Industries. And we believe that the funding that they will receive from us will be able to really maintain the jobs, those 15 jobs. This is quite
interesting one on the Jefferson, which is based in KwaZulu-Natal, in the healthcare space, the medical space, where we assisted a company with 2.7 million. And what they do is a renal care in the medical fraternity to assist the communities in the area of commercial. Briefly, if you go to Limpopo, we've assisted a company that manufactures bed kits. They are based in Seshego. They create 27 jobs. They receive 2 million from this. We have also assisted in Polokwane with 4.7 million rand. The company called Mtongeni Building Construction. They participate in the construction phase, and then 60 jobs will be created as a result of the funding from this. First class fabrication in the fabrication space, they are based in Polokwane also. They receive 1.1 million rand. 70 jobs are created as a result of our funding. In Mpumalanga, we have assisted an entity called Year Tender Trading. They are in the petroleum supply space. They receive 5 million rand from FIFA. They're going to be able to create 22 jobs. They are based in Middelburg. We have also assisted in the area of Middelburg, an entity that's in the services space, which 70 jobs will be created. They wanted 109,000 rand funding. This is a business that's owned by young people. In Mpumalanga. Northwest province, as I conclude.
The screen was not showing what you're saying.
Oh, okay. Northwest province, as I conclude, Honorable Chairperson, in the Luxembourg area, we have assisted the entity that's in the medical testing activities, those classic oriental consultancy, which was established by Mr. Tavo Rafoul. 100% youth owned business. They are in the midst of activities, and we believe that in terms of that, we'll be able to create 16,000 jobs. We also assisted with the 4.5 million rand a mining project in Christ. 40 jobs will be created. Namadops is a company that's owned by a young PMA, and then it's in the mining of the dry lines. And then they are pushed FIFA, and then through the word of mouth, and we assisted them in that. And lastly, in the just some of the success stories, second last from the Northern Cape case studies that we have done, we have assisted this company called Lazarus Development CC, and they are based in Colesberg, and they receive 163,000 from SIFA, and they are in the construction industry. In food franchise business, also in the Northern Cape, we have assisted this franchise of process for 1.2 million rand. They are in the fast food franchise activity, and you know that more jobs will be created as a result. And lastly, in the Western Cape, this is just some of the cases that we assisted. In the cleaning and construction process, we have assisted a company that is based in Khayelitsha. They received 256,000 funding from our institution, and then as a result, six jobs will be created. And another entity is called Tri Trading, which is also based in the Western Cape. They receive 443,000 rand from SIFA. Honorable Chairperson, these examples are only for the first quarter. Only for the first quarter. When we release our annual results, we'll be able to see just the number of sums that are shown in the annual report. This is just only those that we did for the first quarter. And as I indicated in my presentation earlier, we have made 2.4 billion rand investments to businesses that are owned by a small entrepreneur in the country. I hope that one is attractive to respond to the question in terms of some of the success factors that we have. On the direct lending side, remember we also provide funding on the, if we just go to the slide on the rainbow, what we have done, this is one of the considered as a groundbreaking type of project that we are looking at assisting those that want to venture into the policy type of business. This one is dedicated, it's a funding where we ring fence this for those that are venturing in the poultry space, where we put aside 45 million for primary agriculture. So what it does is that, you know, rainbow the bridge chicken, and then they sell them they sell them outside, and some of them they go to Avatar. So what they have done in this case is that they identified some of their employees to start their own business. They gave them some of their old chicken houses, employees of Rainbow. So by doing that, we believe that, you know, we are creating a permanent services so that they can be able to grow. And when they grow up, they can be able to sell outside the Rainbow going forward. So this is some of the examples. There are quite a number of other examples that are done in the mining space. We also partnered with BHP Billiton and Rulabin, because we believe in the local beneficiation of our aluminium in the country, where they provide a supply agreement where people who are supplying to BHP Billiton are then given opportunity by us in terms of funding, and then so that from time to time they can also create their own facilities, and so we also encourage the local beneficiaries. I know it's a long story, but I just thought I wanted just to illustrate. Because I think when we decide, we're coming here for the first time, when we discuss the acting DG in terms of how do we package the information, to go for all information, or just what maybe what we provided for now, suffice, but there's more we can share with the information going forward.
We're going to come back before we go through the request that we want to meet you, and let answer the other questions.
Thanks, Madam Chair. I think
we
did mention the current concern, so we do have an ND booklet about success stories that which you can leave as a secretariat for distribution. But I'll just maybe give one example of some of the success stories. I think from our side, looking at how we measure impact, on the incubation program, we do calculate the number of direct jobs created by the clients that are incubated. And for the last financial year, we created 1,963 permanent jobs. There's obviously also spin-off jobs in certain sectors. So there's been chosen one job to create the next number of spin-off jobs. So that's how we measure impact on that side. Then on the branch network, where we had just under 12,000 SMEs during the last financial year, when you go back 6 months after we've assisted in financial market interventions or mentorship and coaching, really to assess how the business is performing now, we found that 63% of the small businesses that we've assisted say that they've implemented an increase in turnover, and 43% will say they've increased the number of people employed. So if you look at that against how the economy is performing in terms of economic growth and job growth, it shows that the ones that have come to us, just under half of them say, after you've assisted, they've been able to create more jobs. But also more importantly, is the jobs that are retained because of the interventions that we provide. So that's how we track impact as an organization. Then I think on the cooperative side, I agree fully with the honourable member. I think how cooperatives have been modelled in South Australia, really, like get a group of people from a cooperative, and then you find a way around and get it incentive, and hopefully you will survive. And I think that's why you've seen this mass celebration of cooperatives. How we do cooperatives on our side is first to work the other way around, to identify a market and say, there's boxer stores in your area, they need certain vegetables. Here are the vegetables they're willing to buy. This is the quality they require. Then we work with an established cooperative that can feed into that market. That's why even with our One is Priority, One project thing, is also based on the market. An example would be a group of weavers in KZN who are now supplying Disney with beef stuff. I think the work is by identity minister. So that's why we work on identifying a market and then try and look at what are the requirements of that market in terms of quality, in terms of scale, how many tons that we need, or how much we have to produce. Then we work better in a system. I think that's where our model tends to be effective. That everything is saying, let's identify the market and work towards supplying that market. Then on the incubator thing, I'd also maybe ask the executive STP to come in. But our incubators are mostly partnership driven. So you'd find, let's take the one that is in Northwest currently. It's at a TVET college, really looking at jewelry design and manufacturing. So how it works is everything is built around a partnership. So we're going to establish a jewelry incubator. Let's look at all of the partners that we can partner with. It's the FET college, the local government to provide space. So most of them are based on partnerships. We're constantly looking at ways of expanding this. In certain areas, for example, in Yaburu, in the Mindsource 7, the IDP, I think that they will establish 5 incubators in the next 3 years. Then that becomes easier for us to decide. But it's something that we're constantly working on. But because of the resource constraints we have, we're not able to fully going and establishing it, right? It's really based on each user IDPs within those areas and an appetite to work with us. But maybe the STP can really give a sense of what work is being done in the market.
Thank you, Chair. In the North Sudan
approach.
provide finance through our direct lending, which is new for CIFA, but at the same time we need to be able to utilize the existing program, the existing program, which is the wholesale lending, where the actual institution, Kula and Farmers, used to use intermediaries, that's called used for small businesses. The reason being that the issue of other different branches to be able to access the small businesses. So we think we're still utilizing the intermediaries, where we provide them funding to only small businesses. There's microfinance intermediaries, there's what we call the retail finance intermediaries, and the joint ventures. I gave an example earlier in my presentation of the joint venture collaboration that we have with the likes of Anglo-American demand. So we provide the financing. There is a debate in terms of the challenges. I think the pricing that is charged by some of the intermediaries to the end users, which we take cognizance of that, particularly on the microfinance intermediary space where they charge a high interest rate, all in cost to the end user, which we are engaging with them in terms of how that matter can be addressed. However, the charge of the interest rate that they do is still within the law in terms of the National Credit Act. They can be able to charge interest rates up to 52% plus fees. And when you add to fees, if a person comes and borrow over and over again, it then becomes a significant level of interest rates. So we are still utilizing the intermediaries. But in terms of our way going forward, the way forward in terms of how we look at intermediaries, we have developed what we call a structured finance solution, where we want to utilize the intermediaries in a way of partnership, where they help us to then have a hybrid between wholesale and direct lending. So you tend to find that we will enter into a partnership. I'm just going to give one example that we've entered into. We have entered into a partnership with VAW, the manufacturer taxes in Sprint. The holding company, the IBC, funded them with the plans to manufacture taxes. I think IBC spent about 120 million thereabouts. But however, the IBC cannot fund those who want to buy taxes. Will then be able to find those that want to buy taxes. So in that respect, we'll then create a facility as a wholesale facility. But however, each individual taxi owner who wants to buy the taxes is sitting in our books. We also have partnerships similar to that. That's a new breed of intermediaries that we utilize, because we believe that we need to be able to really crowd it in the private sector. We have also entered into another one with Tourism Enterprise Partnership, where they were still the interest ability in the tourism space. They would fund, they would identify the clients that need to be funded, but when an individual loan is issued, it's issued under the name of CIFA, sitting in the CIFA book. That's how we see the intermediaries going forward. But yes, we are still utilizing them.
Honourable members, I think that we will agree that we need to spend more time. Can I seek your indulgence? I said 12, that will go on until after strike. Can I, before I give Honourable Father an opportunity, follow up Honourable Father, not a new question, it's a follow up. Before I give him that, we appreciate the offer to let us look at that e-book that you have available. What I would want to request from you on behalf of the committee is maybe to answer that question. You give us the e-book, but also you can give us a schedule to say that these are the people, the beneficiaries that you have funded, and give it to us as up to date as you can. I know you indicated that you only gave us information for the first quarter, but remember that we are here, and I made it clear earlier, representing our provincial legislatures. So we would therefore want to see, as you have presented it to us, that these are the beneficiaries. This is the amount that they got, this is the type of business that they do, and this is where they are located. That will help us also in terms of our oversight. Honorable Jim Muria, sorry, Honorable Tebe, can I ask you to hold the chair for 2 minutes while Honorable Father poses his question, please?
Okay, can I come in just hold the quarter?
Yes.
I was noted in the first round. I was not recognized. This is the second round. The Honourable Father has given a second bite.
Yeah, no, it's a follow-up. I made it clear, it's just the follow-up.
Are we going to?
We are going to take you and Honorable Long now. Honorable Father.
Honorable Rook would have said to me, was supposed to sit maybe because he said that, but I'm not going to do that. Chairperson, that's what I'm saying when you're a backseat user. Chairperson, yes, I just want to know, and it is a bit worrying to me that when we use intermediaries, and specifically with your small businesses, and I've been in business my whole life, the problem becomes that these people to survive and have to be just talking about 35% already. If you take that with the other charges, for this business to survive, it is almost impossible to start up. And you know, when you start to look at all these extra percentages they have to make profit to be able to go on, it is almost impossible. This was why I brought this up, because it was already a problem in 2011. Now I understand that CIFA only started in 2012, which I don't understand, because if it's a new CIFA, then I want to know what happened to the old CIFA. And I don't want to start with new questions. My problem just remains, that was already for the entry of Parliament the problem in 2011. We're now in 2015, 4 years later, and we still sit with this, and we are listening at 35%. Yeah, it was up to 40%, which is very close because it takes the excess amount. My question is, how can you regulate it somehow that this percentage of these intermediaries are much lower, so that small businesses actually have a fair chance of making money and creating jobs? Because I am telling you now, I'm telling you that these intermediaries are making the money and the small businesses are not really becoming as successful and creating as many jobs as they can because of this situation. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. I'm going to ask you not to respond to that immediately, but to also take the two remaining members' questions.
Even in the leadership that will start to transform the country, we don't want to
that. That is problematic.
Gentlemen, I take the point that there will be circulation of detailed information around statistics, as opposed to someone that we got today. It will assist us to have a more clear picture as to really where do we stand in terms of transforming the country. The one thing I want to know, if you have in place a monitoring tool with regard to the money that which is whether it's a grant or it's a loan. I know it's easy to monitor a loan, but with a grant as well, those monies are spent for the intended purpose. That's one question. The spending patterns, according to your presentation, they seem more urban bias from where I'm sitting, where your friend is actually rural bias. If I read the statistics correctly, you still spend more in housing as opposed to rural provinces on housing in the richest province in South Africa. What informs that? If you can maybe explain or expand on that. I have about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 cases that I made observations of when we went out on oversight as a committee and also when we went out on the provincial week. The one former homeland small industries that has become a white elephant. In Mpumalanga, for instance, the former Mandebele KUC utility small industries that were contracted, they sit there as small as white elephant up to this day, and your Mpumalanga economic growth agency seem not to be knowing what to do with them. Do you have any work in that particular space that We visited Isimangaliso last week, the week before last. We met about four young men, youth, who are in the business of, assisted by Isimangaliso in the business of game, or what do you call them? Tokais or something. Game renters and call them tokais, who are struggling to set up. They're even renting those game vehicles that they are using there. And I want to believe that maybe that you can come into that particular place and assist those young people and group. We also came across a group of widowed women in Guadalajara, in Guadalajara, Natal, who are doing very good projects, hard working, with very good intentions, but they lack funding as well. We also listed a group of women in the Eastern Cape in a township called Red Location. They have converted an old hostel into a bed and breakfast kind of a business. They are also struggling with funding. In Mpumalanga last week, I observed a group of old elders who are on pension, who are doing an agricultural project, but they are also having a problem. Their name is called Amakulandle. I'm mentioning this list of organizations or entities because I think perhaps for one reason or another they may not have capacity perhaps to develop a business plan and to make an application with yourself and for them to get that business financially or otherwise. But I want to believe that some of them might be falling under your mandate. If perhaps you want to come to that space and assist those, not them and them alone, but with others. So then I want to also pose the last question, then I will close with a comment around the issue of the township and village economy. And a space that is causing us social political problems, you would know, as a country, where you will find the foreign nationals prospering more than the South Africans, if you guys are operational in that particular phase, then what is your intervention, if you have any intervention? My last point, Chair, is a comment. I am dreaming aloud now. I wish of this committee meeting or a joint committee meeting between ourselves and the Postal Committee National Assembly, we will go out perhaps and have our committee meeting there and have these entities bringing at least 10 beneficiaries per province, so that we see them more seen. I'm dreaming of that kind of a thing. Gentlemen, thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chimunya. I think for our leadership of the Small Business Development CEDA and CIFA, you should know that the point that Honorable Timunia is making is to say that how could we find a mechanism through which we would be able to facilitate where we pick up people that are endeavoring to be entrepreneurs and deal with that in a responsible manner as members of Parliament. So maybe that is a question that is hidden in what is raising. NEF is having an exhibition there in ICIP business. Many of us don't know about. I just passed NEF earlier on, and many of the things that you're raising there were the things that we raised with NEF. But then a member of parliament from the NCOP also comes to the NEF and says, there is this particular venture, business venture, and how exactly? And I think that is the point that we are raising to say, how exactly do we begin to, at a practical level, share objective of uplifting those people who endeavor to be entrepreneurs. Honorable Long, it's your turn, please. And then we'll go to Honorable
big things that businesses struggle with is getting through the maze of red tape that is there to start up a business, get registered, go to the municipalities, go to the provincial government, go to institutions, getting all the forms filled in. And some of these, and I'm glad actually I just started to do this follow-up after these examples. I mean, if we want to take this out before, you know, I'm not putting down the successes that you've had, but it's not going to be the companies that create 60, 90, or 120. It's those thousands of people that create 3 or 4 jobs, okay, that get the opportunities, get access to funding to, through their own initiatives, to 10,000 people creating 5 jobs to 50,000 people. You will struggle finding 50 companies to create 1,000 jobs immediately. Those companies will evolve automatically, and that's the problem that we have at the moment, is that we are not giving that market the opportunity to step into it. Linked to that is my question, what is being done to make this maze of red tape, the struggle to get your foot in the door, accessible to people who've got the ideas, people that don't have to travel from all the areas where they stay, but actually have centers where they are, they come with an idea, you have a start-up pack almost ready and say, go into the city of Cape Town, this is the form that you need. You do all the homework from your side and then help those people, because we're sort of like one-stop shops to assist them in going, starting their business. That one-stop shop should cover your licensing, your finances, your support and your training, all of that. The other thing, and this is where we are struggling, and I know this is not your mandate, but maybe you can get a proposal in, but at the moment, many of our South Africans, they don't start with a mindset of starting an own business. They start with the mindset of, let me find a job. And if we can start getting that mindset addressed as well and say, listen, I can start the job and provide opportunities, that will go a long way as well. And with your interactions with all the other departments are trying to find out where they are giving finances also, maybe then also whoever does that interaction liaises with one or two of the departments that can bring that mode of thinking where it's their mandate. But yeah, that's the two for my side.
Thank you very much. I will
share quickly two areas of emphasis from my part. That probably DG, through your leadership, we sit here in the MCOP representing the interests of the provinces. So the technicality might be, when we don't see explicitly issues that represent what we should be doing from provinces, we might ask questions that are not taking effect, as opposed to getting information that is province aligned, so that we can be able to catch if we can be able to do that moving forward. But the second emphasis is that, look, we see 45 million assistants creating 48 jobs. I know that you are trying to assist, but 45 million for 48 jobs, and you have 1.5 million creating jobs that are more than 50% of what you created by 45 million. I think we can look into that. What is the level of impact? The other issue that we don't get explicit from the rainbow issue is that it's saying it's assisting existing employees. You see, some sort of an ESOP kind of an arrangement, or what are they? Are they still existing employees, or are they outside the bracket of being employees now, standing alone, so that we can assist? And we must applaud that if we are going to have a situation where former employees are outside, and I want to assume they are former employees now, and they have market penetration in the form of a rainbow taping straight into their own production, it assists. Then at least the bottlenecks, the first part of the bottlenecks, are shifted out of our way. As opposed to people there's nobody who's stepping into whatever the other groups. I'm happy that CEDA is alive to the issue that we're raising about the importance of the IDG. I can throw you an example. Go into the mining sector. Department of Minerals and Resources stepped in there as a referee. IDG not aligned with the SLPs from the mines, and therefore the mines are doing as they wish, and therefore DMR will always come out and say mines are compliant, when issues that the mines should be assisting municipalities with, that should be reflecting into the IDGs, are not there. And therefore mine will go in whatever particular locality, build a 4-room school there and say this is our social responsibility. We don't want to see the same thing happening in this room. There's no municipality, and I want to speak on behalf of the Northwest. There's no municipality in the Northwest which does not have a dedicated cooperative directorate. What are you doing with that? Tap into that possibility. Align yourself, your priorities with the IDGs there. Assist those people so that we can be able to go. I can tell you now, if you go to the Platinum Belt, declared officially as an ASIN threat, what is the level of progress, our state of readiness, to tap into those possibilities? Because such an incubator, if you create together with your CVET, you create platform for the people to, when the SCVET starts, you already have platform for them to be able to tap into possibilities created. As opposed to waiting, and when the SCVET is fully fledged, already established businesses are the ones who are tapping into. If you are going to go to one particular mine, mines are closing today, and we are creating 48 jobs out of the 45 million. Mines are closing. Four mines, four shafts in the Platinum Belt, four of them are coming from one company called Impla, are closing down. If you look next to that mine, is what we call the mine dams. Out of the mine dam, you can create a 50 million worth construction value chain. What are we doing? Go into that, it's waste on behalf of the mine, but to you it's 50 worth of waste, 50 million worth of waste. Where's our people? Thank you, sir.
I try to be very accommodating and generous. I hope I have been.
No, you are.
Can we give you an opportunity now to respond to questions?
Thank you. I just want to start again maybe on the debate around the use of the intermediary vis-a-vis in terms of the problems that we made. The reality of the matter is that if you look in terms of our funding activity, in sense now, we get more developmental impact through the use of intermediaries than we could be able to get currently through our direct lending activities. And we have identified the need to build additional access points through collocation. So utilizing the intermediaries, I think, then it helps us to be able to reach people that we could not be able to reach through our own branches. When we discuss this, we look in terms of what it is that the government wants us to do, us and others want to contribute in terms of job creation, particularly in the small business space. 11 million jobs by 2030, multiplied that by 90%, and we ask ourselves the impact that SIFA can make in this regard. Could we be able to do that only through our branch network? The answer is no. We won't be able to reach any end. So the significant portion of our funding activities, we have assisted, for example, 68,000 SMEs and cooperatives for the year ended 2015. Of which more than 90% is through our collaboration with partners, the intermediaries. So if we remove intermediaries out of this, it means that we have to, we won't be able to reach the scale. So intermediaries, in sense, they give us the scale. One is to look in terms of the cost benefits activities. If we have to do that work alone that the intermediaries do, it means that we have to put ideas that help us to drive our development agenda. So I can hear it that we will be able to work with. And we're looking at various activities. In terms of the, there was a question that was raised that we are concentrated around the Gauteng, which is really correct, that we are Gauteng because of the maybe major economic activities. We have got more activities that we've done in Gauteng. But however, what we've done is part of our balance scorecard. CIFA is an organization, our performance is based on how much have we done in priority provinces. 45% of our funding activities have to go to businesses that are in the rural and rural provinces. 45% has to go to women, 80% has to go to youth, and then we also have 2% for people with disabilities, which can also increase based on the activities. So those balance scorecard performance indicators help us to make sure that we must not concentrate only on the metro of those advanced provinces. But it's one way that we need to look at so that we get reward dates or we get for all the people and for us to be reporting to the authorities in terms of the impact we have done. In the priority provinces, but we work towards that as we move forward. I also just wanted to share in terms of on the issue again on the targets. I did mention that over the past 2 years, businesses are owned by young people, which is over 450 million. But for this year alone, with regard to women, the businesses are owned by women, we assisted over 66,000 women-owned enterprises. And with the disbursement of 484 million, rural-based enterprises, 59,000 of SMEs and cooperatives in the rural provinces, with 686 million, and black-owned for this year 52,000 with 954 million. Just to make to clarify, a young person can be with a female. Can be sitting in the rural province, so the number might not necessarily add to the total. But all in all, for the year just that ended, we disbursed 1.3 billion rand to SMEs and cooperatives in total. There was also a question, I think the Honorable Chairperson, I would suggest that would like to tap into those potential clients that the members have met in various oversight visits and various activities, constituency visits that we need to have a follow-up. We might not be aware of it. Maybe my suggestion is that we have the head colleges through the office of the Honorable Chairperson and then maybe forward it to the acting DG, and then the acting DG can then be able to maybe collect it either CIFA or CIDA. We would definitely like to do that. We get quite a number of referrals as well as we visit Parliament from time to time, and would like really to follow up and assist those SMEs and cooperatives. So I would like to just propose that we'll look at that. Then there was a question relating to example that I've made with Rainbow. Yes, there are existing Rainbow. There are existing Rainbow clients that were provided them with 45. We made available 45 million. To assist six growers. In other words, the number of SMEs themselves will be six as a start, and then those six in total will be able to create 48 million in the primary agriculture. This phase of funding, we know that it's a big capital intensive. At the moment, they will be renting the houses, the chicken houses that are owned by Rainbow. If they have to build their own chicken houses to be able to grow the chicken, it was even going to be more expensive. So we said, let's take this as a start to be able to come up with those that are in the primary agriculture, mm-hmm. particularly the chicken poultry. So that these other growers will then be able to be leasing these properties where they are staying, their own business activities from Rainbow, and then Rainbow will then provide them with chicken cow support. And we believe that now, as time goes on, these six will be able to be on their own. They don't necessarily have to utilize the funding and then supply points available, they'll be able to grow themselves and stand alone. Maybe they can be able to then provide into the future to others. And this creates, in my view, an economic of pay. And then they can be able to grow their own business and supply to others, and to other amateurs going forward. That is the one. I think maybe if I just have to respond on the issue of the red tape, it is really a challenge. What we have said ourselves, if it's a bridging loan facility, we said we need to be able to execute the transaction within 10 working days. We said all that 10 working days, if it's a bridging facility. And if it's a 10 loan or working capital, 80 working days. That is the target that we set ourselves, but we find ourselves outside the target for a variety of reasons. In some instances, the information that we receive, because we need to be able to handhold our clients. The typical clients that we deal with are clients that would not necessarily get funding from banks. So information might not be regularly available. For example, a very typical example that we come across from time to time, a person has got wants to be funded for a contract, but it appears that the tech client certificate has just expired, or it's not at the government agency, we are not going to be able to provide funding if the tax is not in order. So those things delay. The information that we require from time to time is not readily available, so we always handhold and assist from time to time. But we have set ourselves a target. If we meet the tax, they penalize, so that it helps us to really enforce us, but also we won't be able to reduce the issue of red tape. And in most cases, clients come in and we take their application back when asking questions, because we still have to ask questions to assess them. Whatever client, even though we take a high level of risk, we still need to be able to assess that this client can be able to pay back the loan, so that when we receive the proceeds, we can be able to really assist in terms of other clients. We have internally what we call the cost investment monitoring unit, which once the loan has been disbursed, we need to be able to assist in terms of how is the client doing. This involves ongoing client visits, where our team will be visiting the client that receive funding from ourselves. We also have what we call the investment monitoring committee that look client by client in terms of what is happening in a particular client. Because majority of small businesses fail within their first business or second business. So we don't want to just give them the funding and the go away. So the cost investment monitoring unit, it helps for us to be able to follow in terms of what is really happening to the business. Because if a business is not being looked after, there might be a challenge. We also provide a mentor. Where we realize that maybe a client is a challenge in terms of the management aspect, the technical aspect, we provide a mentor to the client. And the client won't pay a cent. The client won't pay anything. We will then be able to pay the mentor. In Gauteng, which we did as a pilot project, we have collaborated with the South African Institute of Chartered Accountants, SICA. They are occupying our offices in Braamfontein, where we are saying majority of small businesses are not able to generate management accounts, financial information. They are not able to do their tax computation, bookkeeping activities. So we will then, in our partnership, at a very, very modest fee, we pay SICA to be able to assist our clients in terms of financial information, etc. So the Institute of Business Advisors, we allocate the mentor to help the client so that they can be able to really get off the ground. So we put this as conditionality. So really help in terms of the monitoring, in response to the patient on the monitoring tool or monitoring mechanism that we have in terms of the funding that we provide to SMEs and the cooperatives. Honourable Chair, I think maybe it's the main cause of the country.
Thank you very much. I get a sense that we need to look at a mechanism through which the honorable members would be able to communicate. And I'm probably using the word communicate and not work with. To communicate with the provincial structures of the Department of Small Business Development. And here I'm again not saying CEDA and CEPA, because I believe that they are
umbrella.
So that we would be able to then, whenever it is necessary, take up some of our provincial dynamics with the Department of Small Business Development structures within the province. The challenge that we're having as this select committee is that we will definitely only see you again next year. And we cannot afford to only be dependent on our communication being radio visitors in the select committee. We need to find another way, judging from the strong points that were coming from members, that we are very reliant upon the interventions that you can make in terms of helping with the development of entrepreneurs in the country, with the development of small businesses in the country, with also ensuring that if we talk about the black industrialists, that we are not only dependent on what is happening in TTI and IDC, but also look at what is it that you have picked up. So there's a whole range of issues. So my, let me put it to you by way of a question in TTI. Would it be fine that you share with our secretary the names of your contact people in the provinces and repeat that information through to the members of the committee so that they can, we can on our own become the communication and interaction and cooperation with the colleagues in the provinces?
Sir, we don't have a problem with that, but just as a department, we don't have provincial offices. We are working with provincial economic development department. But CIDA and CIFADI will have provincial offices, so we'll have those details, contact details.
That's exactly why I raised the question that we do that through the Department of Small Business Development,
because you are the major player, if I can put it that way.
I know that when we looked at your budget, you have a very small budget in the Department of Small Business Development, because the actual implementation happens within CIDA, CIFA, and some other agencies that are tasked with those responsibilities. So that being said, colleagues, can we then, on your behalf, express appreciation to the colleagues from CIDA, CIFA, and the Department of Small Business Development for making the presentation to us today? We notice that you are as bad as what we are in terms of your gender representation. Now, we would ask you to look at that. We have three women that are serving in this committee, and unfortunately none of them are here today. I mean, three who are permanent, and we have one other that is important. So that said, I think that we would want to ensure that the lines of communication remains open between us. We thank you very much that you came here also open-minded. You have done justice to most of the questions with you, but that doesn't deprive us from also submitting questions for it, comments to the department. But to say that what is very important for us is to make sure that the obstacles that we have encountered before 2040 would be appropriately addressed by the establishment. Thank you. want to find also you present within the collaboration with our provincial legislatures. And we leave it on you teaching. You decide exactly how we do that. Because we're saying that small business is not national. Small business is local. And while we appreciate you indicating that you work in Mosalka, we are saying that we would want to see, because our premier in the Northwest is talking about small business development in Dobris. And having been to the Northwest, you get an indication of how small those Dobris really are. Having been in KZN, we have seen how far flung communities are to each other. And we vote you out. You can be sure of our commitment to the purpose and the aims and objectives of this department. So thank you very, very much. For the members, we can unfortunately not leave with you now. Members, I think there are just the one thing that we need to look at. Where is the minutes? Can I have a copy of the minutes? Can I hold to you, members, honourable members, the minutes of the meeting that was held on the 1st of September? It was in the committee room B475 in the old assembly wing. We had the briefing by the Department of Transport on the Merchant Shipping Amendment Bill. We had present there Honourable Simunia, Honourable Tere, Honourable Leta, Honourable Father, Honourable Gaunt, and Honourable Kaula. We received the briefing from the Department of Transport on the bill. We raised questions to the department on that. And we also then, at the conclusion of that meeting in item 4, just had some discussion on the oversight trip to KZN. And the meeting was adjourned at 12:30. Can I ask for a proposal for the acceptance of the minute, Honourable North? Can somebody second that? Honourable Continuum, thank you very much for this. That said, our meeting is adjourned. We will meet tomorrow at 10. Where are we meeting? I think where are we meeting tomorrow?